Welcome to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, Senior Pastor of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. Our mission is to provide practical application of biblical truth to help you experience true purpose and lasting change that can begin now. Here's Pastor Russ.
As we are winding down this series of Living for Eternity, there's so much, maybe we could go on and on and on and on about this, but as we see today that the reality, once again, of eternity and the makeup of eternity, the characteristics of eternity that are very real, that reflect the presence of God, are something that could be a motivator for us here. Not that we can have heaven on earth, but that we can experience an aspect of it. And until we are on the other side, seeing him face to face, will we be completely free of all this here? And I talk about the sin and the corruption and all the things that are a result of the fall of man. But there's a lot that we could have hope for now as we look to eternity. And I'm going to read to you from Revelation 21, 22. We went over this last week, but there's something extremely important that we're going to focus on today that we kind of just read over last week. But it said, so as John is seeing a picture of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, he describes it the best that he can. And he says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, because they are everywhere. Their presence is everywhere. It fills the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. The city had no need of the sun. Pay close attention to that. Had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its what? Okay, that's a big word for today. The Lamb, Jesus, is the light of heaven. And the nations of those who are saved walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it, and its gates shall not be shut at all by day, because there shall be no night there, so it's always open. This is very important. We're going to stop right here, because this is something that's not an illustration. It's something that John is seeing. It's the reality of eternity, that God himself, Jesus himself, the essence of who he is light. It's not some metaphysical jargon. It's true. The true characteristic of who God is. Like Jesus in heaven is not literally like a light bulb, something that needs electricity to generate light. He is light. Like he is light. And all of heaven is affected by it. There is no darkness anywhere because the light is always present. This is extremely important for us to understand, because who lives within us? Jesus, trick question. If Jesus is light, then that should bring light into our lives, and we're going to explain more about what that means. But Jesus himself in heaven right now is bringing light to all of heaven. There's never darkness. And that means a lot, because as we're going to see, Jesus as light is used often. It's his characteristic. More importantly, light represents truth. Light represents wisdom. Light represents the opposite of darkness, which is sin. It represents righteousness. But let's look at some. This is really cool. So as heaven is coming to earth with the announcement of Jesus, I want you to see something here. In Luke 2:8, it says this: now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by when? I love that it was night. I love that it was dark out. Because watch what happens. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. But again, notice whose glory was shining around the angels. God's glory. Where did they come from? The presence of God. What did they bring into the night? the light of Jesus, the light of God, the glory of God affects all of heaven. Do you remember as Moses went unto the top of Mount Sinai to receive the commandments, that him being in the presence of God actually affected his face so that it radiated the light of God, but eventually it would fade. You see, there's a real characteristic of God that is light, that affects the darkness. And here we have the shepherds in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, the light of heaven shone into the darkness to declare good news. And the light itself so startled them. It was such a distinction. It was something so out of this world that it created fear, because it wasn't natural. The light wasn't natural. It was coming from some dude. We're going to get more into that. So now, with this, let's look at what John says in John 1:1, speaking of Jesus. This is how he begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or translated, the darkness did not overcome it. So now, do you see, John is using Genesis, the creation story, as a background, as a reference point for who Jesus was. But I love what he says. Jesus himself is the light of life for all of mankind, whether they know it or not. But he spoke into the darkness, and then there was light. And the darkness could not overcome it. This is where we're really starting to build now, okay? I think we could all say, do we realize that there's no power in darkness? It's just the absence of light. Like, darkness can never overcome light. It's not like darkness grows here and gets thicker and thicker and all of a sudden we can't see the light. No, the only power darkness has is what the light gives it. It's the only power it has. So if we started to turn off all the lights in here, it would be dark. But Jesus is light, and darkness can never overcome light. And so he spoke into the darkness, and darkness could not overcome it. And Jesus, as he walked the earth, was light, and sin and death could not overcome it. And so if we have Jesus in us, you see, darkness, literally, sin has no real power, only the power we give it. He's light. Okay, it's going to make more sense. But guys, this is so important because it's how you view yourself. It's how you view your life. It's how you view your purpose. It's how you view the world. So, let's look at Matthew 17. Here's a little picture of who Jesus is and who now resides in us through Holy Spirit. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed or transfigured before them. And his face shone like the what? And his clothes became as white as the what? You see, what a picture. He gave them a glimpse of who he was, and everything about it was radiant. He is light. It's perfection. It's holiness. It's righteousness. No darkness can exist. And they got a glimpse of it. So again, I'm trying to create a picture of what heaven is, what eternity will look like, who he was as he walked the earth. And so when he says, I am light and now I am within you, that means something very powerful. Because who would say the world right now seems a little bit darker? But see, that doesn't affect the light. Hear that. That doesn't affect you because Jesus is in you. It affects how you carry yourself. It affects how you see. It affects how you behave. It does everything to how you think. Okay. Let's look at this. John 12:35. I read to you a little portion of it for communion as he predicted his death. And then he says this in verse 35. He goes, now, and then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you, meaning I'm not going to be here forever. My ministry is about to come to an end. So he says, walk while you have me. Learn how to walk while you have the light so that you can expose darkness and understand what darkness is, so that you could see and identify darkness. I'm giving you a way to walk that will overcome the darkness and give you power over the darkness. Because he says, lest darkness overtake you. So if you're not learning as I am walking here, darkness will overtake you. Because this light is going to heaven. But if you're not learning now, there's going to be no light. So you emulate me. You learn from me. You believe in me. So that as you walk as you walked with me, even when I'm gone, and that's how the light shines. But if you don't learn, guess what? Darkness is going to what? Overtake you. Overtake you. Why? Because there's no light. Not because the darkness is stronger, but there's no light. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Duh. Then he continues in verse 36. So he's like, while you have the light, what does it say? Believe in the light. Believe in the light. That's where it starts. It's not just believing in Jesus. It's believing that he is light, meaning truth. And that his commands are truth. His commands are life. He is the light of life in each and every one of us. And our true life comes to life as we walk according to Jesus. Believe in the light that you may become what? Sons and daughters of what? That you may become light. Okay, is that getting this? That you may become light. So if you are light, darkness has no power. It's good. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So, light, darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness. Now, let's be real. Let's be totally honest. Our whole life as a believer is learning to become brighter and brighter. Jesus already in us exists in its fullness, the spirit of he's light, it's truth. Our ability to access it and apply it is up to our own free will. His light is consistently, if we allow it, exposing sin in our lives so that we can eradicate it, not continue to walk in it or justify it. But this is the process. This is why we need grace. We need grace so that we can give the light a chance to grow. So don't feel shame or condemned because maybe the darkness has been overwhelming you and there's really been no light. We're learning. And to me, the darker it becomes out there, the brighter this can shine if we allow it to. But we can allow the darkness to overtake us if we're not accessing the truth of Jesus in us. So, look at what Paul says, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you, imagine he's talking to us, for you were once what? That's exactly what it, without Jesus, separated from God because of the fall of man, because of Adam and Eve, God removed his presence from man. And what he did through Jesus was reconnect the light of God to mankind so that they could have abundant life. Without Jesus, you were what? That's it. No in between. Darkness. There's no truth in you. So all you're doing is navigating with darkness. And it says, if the light that is in you is dark, how dark is that darkness? So Jesus comes within us through our heart, through the Holy Spirit. And now it says, but now you are what? You are light. You are what? What? You are light. As soon as you believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior and commit your ways to him, you now become light because the light of the world, Jesus, is in you. Okay? Now, it's a growth process, right? But it doesn't doesn't mean that the light can't always be. It's always shining if you allow it. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, now this is what light looks like, is in all. This is who God is. This is the essence of who God is, who Jesus is. It's in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Darkness is the opposite of these three. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This is what the light does. What's acceptable to you? All your word says this. Oh, that's light. So me not doing that is darkness. Okay, good. So this is acceptable. This is light. This is the way. This is how I grow in life. How often are we applying the word to our lives and saying, oh, wait a second. I think all of us at some level choose to walk in darkness in certain areas of our life because we feel hopeless. Feel like we can't overcome it. It's just the way I am. It's like, no, you are light. Let the light work. And have no fellowship. Don't partner with the unfruitful works of darkness. Not people, but darkness. If you are light, why would you partner with the works of darkness? Why would truth partner with works of sin? You see what he's like? Don't do that. It's not who you are. He says, stating very clearly who you are, your identity. So it's not just a to-do list to make God happy. It's walk according to who you are. If you walk contrary to who you are, see, you're not experiencing light in life. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what light does. It exposes darkness and ultimately removes darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by those in darkness, by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by what? The light. Who's the light? Jesus. Who's in you? How do you learn how to shine the light? Not an iPad. The Word of God. That's why he says, if you love me, obey my commands. Why? Because I love you, and this is how I'm teaching you to walk in the light, so that you could have life and have it more abundantly, because that's why I came. The enemy, the thief, comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come to give life and that more abundantly, which is what all of heaven is full of right now. Abundant, perfect light and life, never ending. Now, therefore he says, now this was an old hymn that they would sing back then during their times together. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Isn't that awesome? But awake, you who sleep. I think many believers are asleep. They are settling for darkness. They have been lulled to sleep. They've become complacent. They don't really believe in the power of Jesus in them to overcome the things in their life or to live differently. They don't think it's possible. It's like, arise from your sleep. Wake up to the reality. Stop living in death where you can live in. He's like, come on. Let the light of Jesus live within you. And Christ will give you light because that's all he is. So this is so important because Jesus is celebrated this month. And most people don't even realize what they're celebrating. It's still about Jesus. I mean, his name is in Christmas. Come on, I mean. But they are ignoring the very thing that could give them light and life. And they're walking in darkness and celebrating it because they don't know any different. And we're going to get to, Jesus has a solution for that. This is one of the biggest truths that I need you to understand. You believe that the light that is in you, the truth that is in you through Jesus, is more powerful than that which is in the world. Do you really believe it? Because if you really believed it, we would walk very differently. Because often darkness creates darkness in us. We allow dark deeds to create dark deeds in us. We allow our past, our present, or even the fear of the future create darkness within us. And we never realize the fullness of what lives in us and that it doesn't have to be dark. We don't have to be overcome by it. Look at what 1 John says, verse 4. You are of God. I love how he calls them children, little children. And have what? Overcome them. Those that are opposing the message and persecuting the church and coming against them and false prophets and false teachers. He's like, but you have overcome them because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in where? Because this is Satan's dominion right now, and it could look pretty bleak for us, but who is in us is greater than he who is in there and works through people and friends and family members and governments and everything else. It's darkness, but if we allow that darkness to rob us of life, then we've given darkness the power. We have not let the light of God shine into the situation and bring light to it. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Truth and error, light and dark, truth and error. When you wake up every morning this week, I would encourage every one of you to say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That's your morning statement. Because guess what the world is going to bring you? Darkness. Some of you work in industries and professions where you see darkness all the time. Right? And it could be very discouraging. But again, if you know that he who is in you is greater than he is in the world, you understand that just Jesus in you can make a difference in your life, your family's life, and in beginning to be around those around you who may be affected by the darkness but have no hope. So what does light look like? Easy to say, right? Just be light. Just be light. Okay, what does that mean? Smile. No, it's discipline, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work through you, because often our flesh wants to do what's opposite of what God would do. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, Tweety bud. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you understand that almost all of these gifts and fruits of the Spirit affect others? It's for others. You wouldn't need patience if there wasn't other people in your life. You wouldn't need long suffering if there wasn't other people in your life. You wouldn't need gentleness if there was other people, if there wasn't other people. You know what I'm saying? People wear on your last nerve. People's sin gets under your skin. People's sin makes you want to lash out and fix the problem. But see, God says the fruit of the Spirit helps you overcome their dark deeds by light and truth. This is who God is. And we can, I mean, we don't have time to go through all of this. But again, we can't just read through these. And I think a lot of us have heard the fruit of the Spirit, right? But when you understand that this is real characteristics that are produced by the light in you, there's something to aspire to and to work towards. Because you're going to see it matters a lot. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, or if we live in the light, let us also walk in the Spirit or walk in the light. Let us not become conceited and provoking one another or envying one another. No. So again, as God lives within you, Jesus lives within you through the Holy Spirit, there is a new way that we can expect to live. And it's not going to happen overnight, but it has to be something in you that says, I want to strive for this. I want to reach for this. I want to reach through the darkness. I want to reach through the burdens. I want to reach through the doubt. I want to reach through all these things of darkness that are trying to overtake the light so that light can begin to shine. And so I want to read to you again, because this is so important. Because when you understand... All right, I'll just read this first. We've already read it, but I'll read it again. Verse 23 of Revelation 21. The city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. I want you to see something so incredibly important here, because most of what I've been talking about right now is how the light affects you, right? The light will illuminate in you dark spots, dark areas, sin, so that you can become more and more a reflection of who God is. That's really, he's conforming us into the image of his son. That's God's purpose with us. But you have to understand it's not just for you. Do you realize that it says, and the nations of those who are saved walk in the light of who? Jesus. Light is meant for others. Light is meant to shine upon others, not just for you. It's meant to shine upon others. Jesus isn't here physically to shine, but what we see is he made a plan for that. He lives through us so that we can shine as the light of Christ in this world. Like if we turn out all the lights and we needed to exit, you know, I had a light, you would all benefit from my light so that we can know the way. It would benefit all of you, not just you. All see it. All see it. And so if imagine if you're lost in the woods and you got a lot of people with you. Imagine if you knew you had a flashlight but didn't decide to use it and said, oh, we'll just all try to make our way through this dark, scary forest. Let's just all try to find our way in the darkness. I'm going to blend. I don't want to stand out. No, people would be crazy. Like, man, only if we had a light. And I'm like, well, actually, I do have a light. Well, Russ, why didn't you shine it? I was embarrassed that I came prepared. But again, we have to know that what we have in us may be the only light people ever get of Jesus. And what kind of light are we shining? Are we a light that people want to have shone on them or shine on them? Or are we like, I don't like that light? That's a whole nother message. What kind of light are you shining? Are you a strobe light that is giving people seizures? Kind of light are you shining? But are you seeing this? Because this is so important, because we have to understand the purpose that we were born for is to shine the light of Christ, to be conformed into the image of Christ. And who was Christ? He was the light. We are sons and daughters of light. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But even if our gospel it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Through who? Paul is saying, through my mouth, through my life. They may reject it, they may accept it. If they're not receiving the light that I am shining, it's because they rather walk in blindness. But again, he is saying, I am the light shiner of the gospel of Jesus. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is this crazy? How it all fits together? So I would say, how much light are you feeling these days? And again, this is not metaphysical new age crud. Light is only manifested by Jesus Christ, period. By God himself. Are your days dark and bleak and hopeless? Or are they filled with the light and hope of Jesus? Because light will never be overcome by darkness. And Paul was a is that a duck? That was perfect. If that's how you want to shine your light, quack at a few people, get their attention, and give them the truth. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Wow. I would dare say some of you have never experienced the light and glory of God in your life. God's been a heavy-handed, burdensome, terrifying, austere God who doesn't bring much light, but heaviness. That's not the gospel. When you understand who he is, you understand that his commands are light. They're a gift. They're a way to live differently. Because the world needs us. The world is perishing. There is heaven, there is hell. Heaven, hell, no in between. Eternity of darkness, eternity of light. Eternity of darkness, eternity of light. Right now, people have a chance. Watch what Jesus says. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of what? Because where's Jesus? He's in heaven. You are the light of the world. Jesus living through you is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. This is he's like, yes, I am the, Jesus is like, I am the light of the world, but you are the light of the world now. It's why I sent my Holy Spirit to dwell within you. You are the light of the world. We as a culture, I think Christianity is becoming one that wants to blend in with darkness so they're not rejected. Our belief and our walk has everything to do about being distinct, being distinctive. Light has no association with darkness. But so much of the church culture, because I think it just becomes such a part of the fabric that it lost some of its meaning. It's just a part of life that doesn't affect how people walk, and it just blends in with the world and its darkness. It doesn't shine. It doesn't shine the light on the darkness. It tries to receive and accept the darkness. So say, see, we're just like you. We're cool. We're not this. We're not that. Oh, yeah, we are. Because it's the light of Jesus in us that exposes the works of darkness. And how will men know that they're walking in darkness unless the light is shining? This is so important. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's impossible. Unless you decide to hide it. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Watch, and it gives light to who? Who are in the house. Let your light, what? Before men. That they may see your what? Good works, light. Light, good works. Good works created by wisdom and truth. You see, this is how the world sees. And glorify your Father in heaven, because what you are shining is unworld, like out of this world. It's not of this world. It's different. So right now, God is shining brilliantly in heaven, right? All are walking in the light of God. It's perfection. No darkness ever. Here, we got some darkness to deal with. But God promises light as we walk through the darkness. Do you see how that can affect how we see our world now? Yes, we can be burdened by the darkness that we see. We can be alarmed. We can be convicted. We can be a lot of things. But don't let it create darkness in you. Let it bring the hope of Jesus out, or else the darkness wins. And that's what we celebrate during Christmas. The Savior of the world was born, that saved us from darkness so that we can live in light and have the hope of eternal light. It's awesome. This is what our life is about. That's what the Bible says, to shine light. And if you're not shining it, if you're choosing to shine, you can't shine darkness. But to put darkness out, we all need to check ourselves, right? Yeah. Don't feel shame. Feel conviction. I got life. I got areas of growth that are only going to produce more light. Do you really believe that? Or is God an empty tradition? Is church an empty exercise? And this is what I hope, parts of this I want to preach on Christmas Eve. Why? Because a lot of people that come on Christmas Eve, it's a tradition to come. God isn't real. God isn't living. There's no light. It's still darkness. I want to wreck them with the news of Jesus Christ and hope that the light just shines in a few hearts to say, I need him. I've heard about it my whole life, but I've never believed. So be praying for that message. It's going to be awesome. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Amen. Jesus, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the people here and for gathering and for as we gather together, Lord, that the life of us coming together and agreeing makes your light truly shine, Lord. It brings hope. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus, that you are so faithful, Lord, because if it wasn't for your grace and faithfulness, we wouldn't have a chance. Thank you for bearing with us as little children. We'd rather run around in the dark. But Lord, your grace and your mercy, I pray that shine first in all of our hearts, knowing that you know the mistakes we make before we even make them. Lord, that you understand our stubbornness. You understand so many of the things that enable us to choose darkness over light. And Lord, I know you'll break those. Oh, I pray for each person here that the light of your goodness would shine in their hearts differently, Lord, that you become real in this moment for people that has not been real for. And for those of you that know him, for those that know you, Lord, I pray that knowledge grow because there's no end to that knowledge. And Jesus, thank you that you're a God of comfort, God of love and compassion. Jesus, we honor you and we thank you and we praise you because you are worthy of all. Because of you, Lord, we have hope. Amen.
You've been listening to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, an outreach of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. To contact Pastor Russ, visit his website at russfilacci.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, an alive faith is an applied faith.